Hello there, and welcome back to our discussion with Dr. Justin Chaffin, researcher from The Ohio State University. Earlier, he shared with us some information about the science of algal blooms. Now, let's jump back into our conversation with Justin to learn more about contributors past and present.
The blooms in the 40s, 50s, 60s, early 70s were a combination of poor sewage treatment, a lot of phosphorus being discharged through detergents, and also a lot of runoff from agriculture. The Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement set a phosphorus target of 11,000 metric tons, which was pointed towards point sources. So wastewater treatment plants were improved. Farmers started using no-till, which will minimize erosion and runoff. The blooms went away because there was less phosphorus getting in the lake. The blooms have returned since the early 2000s. The increase in blooms since the late 1990s is due to not more phosphorus getting in the lake, but due to a higher percentage of the phosphorus being in a dissolved state. And the dissolved state is what the algae needs to grow.
Where do these dissolved nutrients have the biggest impact? And where do these excess nutrients come from?
We see highest levels of phosphorus and nitrogen near the mouth of rivers. The rivers that flow into the lake, they drain large areas. There can be runoff. So when that runoff gets in the river, eventually gets to the lake, and we see the highest levels of those nutrients near the river mouth. And as you go farther into the lake, those levels drop. For different lakes, it's different where the sources. For Western Lake Erie, since the highest levels are near the mouth of the Maumee River watershed is about 80 to 85% agriculture. And we see the highest concentrations in the river following rainstorms, which indicates that runoff and tile drains from agriculture are the main culprit of the high nutrient loading.
I'm very curious to know more about your research. Could you give us more insight into that?
So the harmful algal bloom problem is being studied by a lot of different researchers with a lot of different areas of expertise, ranging from the field to the river out to the lake. My research is looking at how are the blooms in the lake responding to the fertilizer runoff from the fields once they get into the lake. The overall goal, I would say, for my research is to understand and be able to predict when toxic blooms occur, and not only predict the biomass, but also predict the toxicity levels at a given point in Lake Erie. So one of the major projects we're working on is actually trying to develop a toxicity forecast. And that toxicity forecast will ultimately be tied into the NOAA Lake Erie Harmful Algal Bloom Bulletin, which comes out every other week during the summer. So you'll see where the bloom biomass is. And then you also will be able to see where the toxins are and then where those toxins are going to go in the next couple of days. So it's a combination of going out on the boat, collecting water, analyzing that water, and then also running experiments in the lab to determine what are the drivers of the blooms.
Beyond the tool you're developing to support the NOAA report, what other impacts has your research had on trying to solve this challenge?
We've known for several decades now that phosphorus is needed for blue-green algal blooms. A lot of the research back in the 60s was trying to determine what is it, phosphorus or is it carbon? So phosphorus is a main component in fertilizers. It was a main component in laundry soap and dish soap. And it's also, there's a lot of phosphorus in wastewater. So back in the 60s, researchers then determined phosphorus was critically important for blooms. Now, some of my research and other researchers that I collaborate with are also showing that nitrogen is just as important for cyanobacteria blooms. So in order to have a bloom, they need phosphorus and they need nitrogen. And when you have more nitrogen, it will lead to a bloom that is producing more toxins. So when there's phosphorus and nitrogen combined, that's what really stimulates the cyanobacteria blooms.
The work that you and many other researchers are doing to help solve this challenge is so important. Your focus, of course, is on Lake Erie, and in Ohio, you hear a lot about the challenges Lake Erie faces because of HAVs. But what about in other places?
The harmful algal bloom problem is really a global problem. There's blooms on every continent of the world except for Antarctica. The main cyanobacteria species in Lake Erie, called Microcystis oreganosa, has been found in 108 countries. Any lake that is warm during the summer and has high levels of nutrients such as phosphorus and nitrogen are extremely likely to develop a bloom. Lake Erie gets all the press because it's a large lake and a lot of people live by it, but there's lots of inland lakes that have blooms. The algae don't care where the nutrients are coming from, if it's from egg runoff, if it's from lawn care, if it's from untreated sewage. The algae don't care where the nutrients come from. They need phosphorus and nitrogen.
Justin, we thank you so much for your time and for sharing your expertise with us. Before you go, do you have anything else you would like to share with our learners?
So as students learn about harmful algal blooms and how to minimize the blooms, don't keep that information to yourself. Talk to your parents, talk to your friends, talk to your family, you know, because ultimately everyone's going to have to pitch in to stop the blooms.
That wraps up our interview with Justin Chaffin. Thanks for tuning in to the H2Know podcast.